Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just, I just make plays, bro.
hey, ain't no other way to put it. Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. It's like my whole life, I just always made plays. So
you spontaneous and instinct.
Yeah.
It's Bradley Roby, Texans cornerback with Snoop Dogg. Don't know if he'll be making plays this week. Status still up in the air. We haven't seen him in a while. We could use him, though, on the field because T.Y. Hilton will likely be on the field for the Colts. I say that. I'm just anticipating T.Y. Hilton playing, but you never know. 13 days from today. Actually, 12. Damn. Time's going by quick. Texans versus New England Patriots at NRG, Sunday Night Football. Lopez, there's still a chance that Rob Gronkowski could be a New England Patriot.
Yeah, I mean, it's dwindling fast, right? He just announced this big announcement yesterday that
he had a big announcement.
Hosting a Super Bowl party, and people immediately were saying, oh, okay, I guess he's really retired. I think he's really retired. You think there's still a chance. I don't think he's coming back. But this alone does not tell you that he's not coming back.
He has until November 30th.
Right.
November 30th is the deadline for Gronk to decide whether he's going to play or not. He's not ruling it out. He says it's always on his mind. He says he has stayed in shape. We will see. Robert Kraft has made it clear he wants him to be out there. But the big announcement that Gronk had was he's hosting a Super Bowl party in Miami on the beach. Apparently, Diplo, Rick Ross, Flo Rida are all going to be there.
Look, I think, you know, if you're going to say, oh, he's committed to hosting this party over playing in the NFL, what are you even doing? What are you thinking?
Smart business guy.
I mean, that's not smart business. The smart business is to cash those playoff checks, not host a party.
Still host a party. There's a lot of guys who
for
host
what,
parties.
$100,000? Or rather, you know, win another ring and hundreds of $1,000s, if not more than $1 million, by playing in the playoffs.
You can still host a party, man.
No.
Most polarizing figure in the NFL, in my opinion, you want to guess?
Colin Kaepernick?
Nah, he's not in the NFL.
Antonio Brown?
He's not in the NFL either.
Le'Veon Bell?
No.
Ooh.
Booger McFarland?
I don't know if he'd go that far.
It's one thing for media types like myself and the loopholes to talk about how bad he is, but apparently now the players are catching on to just how terrible Booger McFarland is as the analyst for Monday Night Football. This was Devontae Adams yesterday, the Green Bay Packers receiver, as Booger McFarland was calling the game. Games in this league are lost more than they're won. Booger McFarland.
They're lost more than they're won. I think it's a tie. I think just as many games are lost as games are won.
That's what Devontae Adams said. Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, weighed in. He said, they might as well let me commentate. It's getting bad. And it's getting so bad, he's not even the worst part of that broadcast. Testator, who I used to stand up for, is trying way too hard. He is trying way too hard to emphasize everything. He was obsessed with kicking stats yesterday.
Oh, I saw this.
I mean, my goodness, this dude was emphasizing kicking stats. And whoever this John Perry jamoke is, this rules analyst is, he's the worst at his job that I've ever seen in my life.
That's saying something now.
No, he's 4 minutes late. Yesterday, there was a catch late in the game where Mike Williams got touched. He went down. I immediately tweeted, why'd the clock stop?
No.
And my timeline was filled with, why'd the clock stop? 4 minutes later, this Perry guy comes on, and he brings it up. And then they'll ask him about simple stuff. He has no idea. It's awkward. There are two guys that should be rule analysts for NFL games.
And they are?
Mike Pereira is the best by far. And Dean Blandino does a decent job.
He's pretty
too.
Good. Yeah.
Outside of that, these guys are so bad at it that it makes you wonder, one, how the hell they were referees for so long. And two, it makes you realize why NFL officiating is so bad. And there's transparency as to the morons that are throwing flags on Sundays.
I just think it goes back to no matter the industry, whether it's radio, newspaper, coaching, playing, or officiating, it takes a special talent to feel comfortable enough to rightly and harshly criticize your own. Too many people are just too careful, they had too many friendships or whatever, or they're afraid that they're turning their back on what paid the bills for so long. That's what's so hard about, it's hard to find a good former player who's willing to go in. You know what I mean? When something needs to be gone in on.
And there's some guys who weren't that in the mix that feel like they have some sort of loyalty, and it's like, dude, you're pretty far removed from it. Like,
and officiating,
you weren't like you should just do your job.
And
you're
officiating protects its own more than any even players do. They're always like protecting, especially umpiring, but in the NFL as well, they're always defending each other.
It's weird. The rules analyst thing can add to a broadcast or it can completely demolish a broadcast. Around the NFL with Lopez and Landry and Figgy on Sports Radio 610. Could I interest you in a Tua, say the last name?
Tagovailoa.
A Tua timeline. he injured his hip on Saturday for Alabama. This is the timeline of his recovery heading into the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a partial weight-bearing recovery plan for 6 weeks, and he will be rehabbing daily in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. So I guess he's going to be able to lift some light weights, move around a little bit for 6 weeks. Then in 3 months, he'll be able to begin athletic activity again. And then by spring, he's expected to be able to resume throwing. So in the spring, he's going to be throwing. The draft is when?
April. I had a question for you. You're reading my mind. So he's not even able to really be an athlete again, or at least try to start being an athlete until, what, February? 3 months? Right? And then won't be able to really start throwing until the spring. Last time I checked, the spring is March and April. The draft is in April. Answer me this.
It's going to be a steal for somebody.
Answer me this. Or not. Or an absolute Bo Jackson that won't be able to play the game again. Will he be drafted in the first three rounds of the draft?
Yes. He's going to be drafted on the first day, first round of the draft.
No, he won't.
Yes, that fifth year is important, bro. If fifth year is important, you get that fifth year when you draft him in the first round. It's the reason that the Ravens traded up for Lamar Jackson. He will be a first-round pick.
He will not be a
first-round pick. What do you want to bet?
Let's.
You can name whatever the heck you want.
He won't even be able to throw until March or April.
He will be a first round pick.
He will not be a 100%
positive.
He should be, but he
will
not.
Final answer. All in, Alex.
You think Tua's going to be a first round
all
pick?
All in, Alex. Yes. Yes. I don't think I know.
I feel like
Tua is a first-round pick, yes. It's going to be a bargain for somebody.
He won't even be able to run until February.
Okay. And he's going to run, and everybody's going to make a big deal about it. He's going to be almost ready to throw. Someone that's good is going to be able to take him. They're going to be able to have him for 5 years instead of four if you take him in the second. Tua will be a first-round pick.
The reason I'm hesitating.
And there's teams with multiple first-round picks, too. Well, keep that in mind.
The reason I'm hesitating, because I think it's stealing if I make that bet, other than one team.
John. What are you going to say, the Patriots?
Yep.
I knew you were going to say it. You always say that. Whoa. Anytime there's like a prospect or something, what if he goes to the Patriots?
I honestly don't remember saying that other than this one. So you're trolling
me. You know,
the
Patriots are there at the end of the first round. He could be there.
You just make crap up.
No, you really do that.
I do not.
No, I promise you.
Go to the tape.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but in this case, I'm being serious. You do that a lot.
How did I finish
your sentence for you?
Because everybody knows I just finished the sentence for him, Figgy. Yeah. Because everybody knows it's the Patriots. You stash.
I know you.
You
John.
Play Tom Brady for two more years, and you stash Tagovailoa.
He's a first round pick. Trust me.
He's not a first round.
Trust me, John.
He's not. I don't
trust
you.
Trust me.
You make stuff up.
He's a project. Someone will take him on in the back of the first half. He's going to be a project. He's going to be a steal.
Mm-hmm.
He's there.
Willis McGahee was a first-round pick. He tore his ACL.
That's a lot different than a dislocated hip.
Did you see that knee?
Did you see that hip? Are you familiar with the term Bo Jackson?
Yeah, so? He's fine, man.
And I found it a little bit insincere. Like, immediately after the surgery, all these people were releasing statements. Oh, yeah, it's not anything like the Bo Jackson injury. I'm like, oh, really? Like, he's still in recovery, and you're saying it's not like the Bo Jackson injury?
It's like the term minor surgery.
Yeah.
That's easy for you to say, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I got my wisdom teeth out. There was nothing minor about that, okay? Keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bennett. His dad's a friend of the station.
Yeah.
The father of Martellus.
He's a loophole.
And Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett recently got traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And there was question as to whether or not Michael Bennett was going to buy in to the Cowboys because it didn't work out for him in New England. And if it doesn't work out for in New England, a lot of times it doesn't work out elsewhere. But I want you to tell me, based on this speech, because we're the kings of grading speeches.
Okay.
Based on this speech, this is Michael Bennett before the Cowboys game on Sunday. Does it feel like he's bought in?
Bring all the hate and the dope. Bring that pain today. Yeah. It's about the Cowboys. Yeah. Every day we sacrifice. Yeah. We spend time away from our family. We play through injury. And it's our time to shine. Yeah. And it starts with the man next to you. What are you willing to do to sacrifice for the man next to you? Yeah. I'm going to lay it down. Every single play, down in, down out. Let's dominate.
Sir.
Hey, if you ain't about that, don't come back out here.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I wasn't that impressed. I'm
kind of ready to play.
Nah.
What?
I think it was a little forced.
What?
I think it was a little forced.
Figgy.
I think he sounded
You
a little...
ready to play?
Nah, it wasn't that good.
You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Yeah, see?
It wasn't that good.
That was pretty... I mean, he had me fired up.
He reminded me of Andy Dalton.
He's no Drew Brees. Well, I don't know about that. We can go to the tape on that one.
He reminded me of Andy Dalton. Play that again. This is just...
Okay.
And I'm a Michael Bennett fan. He's a good Aggie.
Bring all the hate and the doubt. Bring that pain today. Yeah. It's about the Cowboys. Yeah. Every day we sacrifice.
Yeah.
We spend time away from our family. We play through injuries. And it's our time to shine. And it starts with the man next to you. What are you willing to do to sacrifice?
What?
I'm going to lay it down. Every single play. Down in, down out. Let's dominate.
Sir.
Hey, if you ain't about that, don't come back out here.
It's not that good, dude.
What is wrong with you?
It's not that good.
I'm telling you.
713-572-46. I've heard 100 better than that.
Well, I'm sure, but nah, I feel like he's bought in. I did not think you were going to turn on your ag like that.
I love him.
Could I interest you in a crazy fact?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bennett's going to play his former team, the Patriots, who he had a falling out with. So it's going to be Cowboys versus Patriots, 3:25 this Sunday. You know, this is going to be the first game of 2019. You're looking at me like I'm about to drop something on you.
I am.
I'm about to drop something on you.
Okay.
It's going to be the first game of 2019
that
the Dallas Cowboys have been an underdog.
I can believe that. Because they're the
first
Cowboys.
Game of 2019.
Keep in mind, though, and how many games have they lost? 4 or 5?
I think they're 6-4. Last I checked.
I mean, The point spread has to do with how much money Vegas thinks people are going to gamble.
This is true.
Not what this team they think is better. And the Cowboys are they and the Patriots both, which would lead you to believe that it is going to be this game where they're an underdog. No one bets more on any team other than the Patriots and the Cowboys. So because they are bet on so much, they are going to be
favored. It's like the Steelers too.
They're going to steal some points.
But damn, man. First time all year. Dak Prescott, by the way, leading the league in passing yards. So congratulations to him. You want another cool fact before we get out of here?
I love cool facts.
This is per Adam Schefter. This is the fourth week in the Super Bowl era featuring three primetime games between all winning teams.
So every primetime game is going to be between winning teams.
Every primetime game. A winning team is involved. Texans at Colts on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Packers at 49ers on Sunday night. Ravens at Rams on Monday night. And that doesn't even include the Patriots at Cowboys on Sunday afternoon.
Which is also in that category.
You know
you did a mic drop on me.
You know what the OG you know what the OG John Lopez would say about those games?
What?
A games right there. Five-star games. Those from are the five OG. Star OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. What is the end,
dude,
of this Astros cheating controversy? What does that look like? How is this whole thing going to end? 713-572-4610. Plus, Loopholes has spoken on Michael Bennett's speech. We'll discuss next. All right, there's too many stories to keep up with this Astros cheating scandal. I mean, I don't even want to list them. Who cares? If you want to read them, go read them. The Athletic has some pretty damning evidence about the Astros cheating. It almost seems like now it's just become a witch hunt. You don't know what to believe, but we both believe on this show the Astros probably cheated. Is it the reason that they won the World Series? No, but they cheated, and there is going to be a punishment. But my question in this segment, my question for all the Loopholes, and if you listen, you are a Loophole, very much appreciated, 713-572-4610, is how exactly does this thing end? What is the ending to this story? Because right now it's relatively new. Seems like a new story is coming out every week. We're seeing footage and all that. How does this end, J-Lo?
I think there's two big things that are going to happen here that are happening. I think it's going to end a lot worse than I initially thought. And when this first came out, that there was going to be an investigation of the Astros using cameras in the outfield and signaling players of upcoming pitches, to me, there was a big difference. And I think I tweeted it within 20, 30 minutes of the news. If you're stealing signs in the course of the game because the catcher is sloppy or the pitcher is tipping pitches or whatever, that I have no problem with. They need to be better. Once you introduce electronics and the premeditated plan to cheat, that changes things. That is the definition of a conspiracy to figure out an organization. I should, maybe not conspiracy is the right word, but an organizational attempt to cheat. All right, and so there's a big difference there. I thought the initial result would be an investigation, Astros found guilty, and a $1 or $2 million fine, and that's that. I thought that was going to be it.
You think it's going to be worse now?
But now there's more evidence. There are more layers to it. There are more people offering their thoughts and their evidence of what the Astros have done. It seems to be more elaborate, far-reaching, you know, with more things involved. I think Major League Baseball is not going to have a choice, man. They're not going to have a choice but to be really, really hard on the Astros, real harsh on the Astros.
How harsh?
$3 to $5 million fine and draft picks now.
What kind of draft picks are we talking?
First, second round draft pick, maybe. I'm saying both. Maybe a first and a second, first and a third.
Okay, so saying this.
And about a $5 million fine.
What about if we find out other teams are doing this? Are the Astros just going to be the face of this?
Funny you said that. Because the Astros are absolutely 100% the Astros are going to be the face of this. 100%. It will not change now, no matter who's doing what, simply because they're the first ones that clearly organizationally, allegedly, are doing this, okay? But that's the second part of it, Landry. I think there's a lot of nervous people out there from other teams because the Astros are going to be the face. The Astros clearly have an elaborate plan that is well thought out, that is involving a bunch of people. There's already a bunch of interviews going on, former players and staffers talking to the MLB. They're going to be the face of it. But you can't tell me that there wasn't at least a couple of other teams that did something similar. Maybe not quite as deep and elaborate, but did something similar. There are other teams that are nervous right now. That's the other part.
But the Astros, so you think this punishment's going to be similar league-wide, or you think the Astros just did it at a higher level, so they're going to be the, I don't want to say the example, but are they going to be the ones?
No, they are going to be an example. Oh, 100%. That's what this is all about. Major League Baseball doesn't want that, you know, that black eye, that public relations hit of, oh, wow, the Astros had cameras in the outfield and all they got was a $1 million fine? They do not want that. They're going to have to, they are the example. They're going to have to come down, you know, $3 to $5 million and draft picks, or else, you know, the whole message is going to be, oh, look, MLB doesn't even care that much. It's like the steroid thing in the 90s, you know? yeah, I think we're going to investigate it. We're going to do the Mitchell report. We'll see what happens, and then nothing ever happens. No, because that MLB is still suffering from that.
Is there really any Astros fan that sits there and looks at this and says, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this is happening? Do you think there's any, like, even a small percentage?
Yeah, small percentage. I've had people.
John.
I've had people tweet. I can go back and look at some tweets saying, I have to admit, I'm embarrassed by this. You know, but embarrassed and wanting.
How much embarrassed?
I mean, you want me to go through my mentions?
No, but how much embarrassment can you really have about this? Baseball's a cheating sport, man.
Yeah, it is.
So how embarrassed can you be? Like, are you gonna get rid of your season tickets? Are you gonna stop going to games?
Hey,
like,
let me just be honest, and I've said this in case anybody missed it. I don't care. It's not gonna change the way I felt about the 2017 World Series. All I'm telling you is what I think is gonna happen. You asked me the question. I'm telling you. I think they're gonna be the example. The MLB is going to be harsh on a personal level. I don't care, but it's so elaborate now. There's so many layers to it now that they're going to have to do something harsh.
Do you think that this is connected to the Todman thing? And I say that just because of this. You laughed at me, but I think there clearly is a witch hunt right now. I think there is a little bit of a witch hunt. I'm not saying the Astros aren't guilty. And I'm not saying
that's not a good term. And the reason is witches did not exist. This exists. If you want to say this is an example, or maybe something like that, or they're making an example of the Astros, I'm good with that.
All right, they're going coconuts.
Because this did exist.
Coconuts to the wall. They are trying to expose the Astros.
Yes,
I honestly think, and I think going back to the Todman thing, I think that the fact that they had that initial statement with Todman, mm-hmm. where they basically questioned a writer's credibility. You know how close baseball writers are and how close writers are in general. I think the way that they arrogantly and wrongfully, which they've admitted, mm-hmm. questioned that writer's credibility, and they later on said, Jeff Luhnow said that they were wrong in doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has just brought it to a point where everyone in the baseball media just wants to go for blood when it comes to the Astros.
Writers had nothing to do with this. MLB, a writer reported that the MLB is investigating them, but they didn't. You know, I mean, that was the report by The Athletic.
Yeah, but the reports are adding to the investigation and stuff. Like they've basically opened.
But what
up.
I'm saying is, just because the Brandon Taubman thing happened, The Athletic didn't decide, hey, let's go talk to Mike Fiers. I mean, I think those are, you know what I'm saying, those are separate things. And MLB and the report, keep in mind, the report said that Major League Baseball was going to investigate already, that they had already decided to investigate. So it's not like writers had anything to do with that, you know? So I think they're a little bit separate, but 100% the Major League Baseball is going to make an example of the Astros. And it's going to be harsh.
Do you think different of the Astros today than you did before all this came out?
I mean, not really. I mean, I know. I think they cheated. I think they planned to cheat. And I
kind of like it.
And I think it's a little dirty, but it doesn't affect what I think about the 2017 World Series.
This is going to be good for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think this is the spell the name right that John Lopez always talks about.
Just spell the name.
The Astros. The Astros have been one of the best teams in baseball the last 3 years, but damn it, now they're one of the most polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you got a polarizing team, you know what? You got an event all the time, and baseball has 162 games. A lot of times it gets watered down. You have something to hate if you're out of the city of Houston when the Astros come to your ballpark. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be good for us, John. I think this is going to be very, very good for
us. Well,
they're
the Patriots.
Just embrace it.
All they have to do is start winning like the Patriots.
They're not the Patriots, okay? Mm-hmm. The Patriots are on the next level. The Astros only have one championship.
Would you like a little bit of an update on this story we're talking about right now?
I'd love it.
Major League Baseball Commish Rob Manfred said today, information is being gathered on the Astros and says he wants to have it completed by the start of the 2020 season. Well, that makes sense because he doesn't want this to linger, into the season and people questioning the Astros even more. He'd like some sort of resolution.
Speaking of resolutions, the OG John Lopez, Texans got a problem that he thinks he can fix. I think he's a little bit nuts, but he might be able to sell me on it. The OG John Lopez solving problems next. What? All right, we got to make a bet on this Tua thing. I think Tua goes in the first round. You say there's no chance. I think he's a first round pick, no doubt.
I hope you're right, but I don't think there's any zero chance
doubt.
At all.
I think there's zero doubt.
I think there's a lot of doubt that he's even going to be drafted in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. And the reason is if he didn't see, he had his surgery. The prognosis immediately was that, you know, they didn't immediately said that there wasn't like a Bo Jackson injury, which I think is a little bit more PR than anything. You know, his agent probably had something to do with that. But then they said probably start rehabilitating athletically in February and then start throwing in the spring. The spring is March and April. The NFL draft is in April. Who's going to draft him other than the Patriots? Without even seeing him throw a football.
Someone who wants to get a value for a guy who would have been the number one pick and, he might and roll
not,
the dice.
This is an injury that's like the old ACL injury is not what it used to
be.
But in the old days.
You got good doctors these days.
This is a career-ending injury.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right.
I hope you're right. Trust me. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong on this so bad because I think it's
awful. Throw some dirt on it.
I think it's awful that this happens. But I don't see him drafted in the first round. I think he's going to get drafted, but I don't see him drafted in the first
round.
My
dude P-Dub, PD Wheatstraw.
Wheatstraw?
Shout out to him. Jacked, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's been known to drink some Crawford Box out there at NRG. I'll be tailgating this weekend, by the way, PD, so get at me.
Okay.
At Landry Locker. He says that if Tua gets drafted in the first round, you should not be allowed to fish for a month. I think that's a little bit harsh. So let's just say for 2 weeks. If Tua goes in the first round, you can't fish for 2 weeks.
I'll do a month. If.
I'm not going to lose the bet. I'm very confident he's going in the first round.
The odds are heavily in my favor. Heavily in my favor. Probably 70-30.
Okay. Well, then go ahead. Lay something out for me. You can't fish for a month.
If Tua's drafted in the first round, I won't fish for a month. If he's not drafted in the first round, even if it's the 33rd overall pick, you can't. I was gonna say drink, but I know you've purged it in the past.
Yeah, I can go a couple months without drinking, bro.
All right, no sex
for a month.
For a month.
Okay, deal. I mean, it's not gonna happen. So cool. Bet.
This is honor system now. This is like Seinfeld.
Bet.
I'm out.
You're on. Your Seinfeld reference. You think that you can solve the Texans kicking problems?
I
think Kyami Fairbairn needs to stay. I know it's been rocky. I know he's missed 5 extra points, 5 field goals. But you think you have the solution to the Texans' kicking problems?
Well, I did a little digging around this morning because you've been contending. And I think, you know, pretty strong argument. I haven't fought you too much on this. If not Kyami Fairbairn, then who? Your point is, yes, he's struggling.
That's the point for sure.
Yes, I don't have confidence in him. Yes, no one should have confidence in him. But what is the option? Because, you know, where is there a kicker on the street that is better than Kyami Fairbairn and proven to be better than Kyami Fairbairn? I found him. I found the kicker. I found the kicker to replace Fairbairn. And I will say this, especially after this past weekend, I have no confidence in him making a big field goal.
And as well you shouldn't.
Zero.
I mean, as well you shouldn't.
You go down.
But he has done it before.
You're down 26-24 to the Colts on Thursday night, okay, and they line up a 45-yard field goal.
Money.
I'm expecting him to miss it. That barbecue chicken. That should not be the case.
Wet.net.
All right. So I found the kicker. I found you've been saying, where is this guy? Where is this guy? I'll tell you where this guy is. He's in San Francisco right now making kicks. Chase McLaughlin is a rookie kicker. All right. A rookie, keep this in mind, that replaced Robbie Gould. Gould, of course, is a Pro Bowler. He had a quad injury. And he was questionable in week 11, but is probably going to return. Chase McLaughlin has been making kicks, has not missed an extra point, made a huge 47-yard field goal in primetime. Now, I know he ended up missing one later, but he's 10 of 14 on all his field goals and has not missed a single extra point, and he's going to be on the street. He's going to be on the street.
Okay.
So there's your kicker that can replace Fairbairn.
No. Man, he just choked. You didn't even mention that he just choked.
Fairbairn
away.
Just choked a bunch.
Yeah, but Fairbairn's been there before.
He made a huge kick.
He's done it before.
Pressure kick to get them
in
that situation.
Yeah, and then he shanked it. Looked like me off the tee box.
No missed extra points. How about Fairbairn? How many does he have?
5. Really 6 if you count the one in New Orleans that didn't count.
I think the answer to your problem is right there. He's in San Francisco, and they're going to release him.
Don't do it.
I have no confidence in Fairbairn down the stretch. Absolutely none. At all.
John, don't do it. Just listen, man. You're not going to feel better about this kid than you do Fairbairn.
I'll feel 100% better. I'll feel 100% better with McLaughlin ahead of Fairbairn. I have nothing. I mean, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, man. I got no confidence in him at all.
Well, you shouldn't, but you've at least seen him do it. He's been there with you. And this is the other thing. Who's the guy that makes these decisions?
That would be Bill O'Brien.
You're saying there's writing on the wall. You're saying there's writing on the wall that shows you that Fairbairn could cost you a game eventually, right? You're saying that.
He will. This is a team that doesn't blow anybody out. It's clearly not an elite team, as was evidenced in last Sunday's game. So it's going to come down to a kick. You're going to have to make a kick to advance either to the postseason or in the postseason.
So you on the record right now saying Bill O'Brien needs to make this move?
100%.
Okay, so you're there.
I'm there.
So there's no hindsight 2020. If Fairbairn costs him a game, I'm going to come here. I'm going to admit the OG was right, and you're going to say that you saw that coming.
Yes.
I think this is similar to what happened week one, because there was writing on the wall. Going back to last year, as I'm digging up tape from the Colts versus the Texans last year, there was a time where Bill O'Brien, his first question at his press conference was, why isn't Aaron Colvin playing? He's healthy, but he's on the sideline. Sharice Wright's out there. Why isn't Aaron Colvin playing? And as we watched training camp, as we were 10 feet away from the practice field, we're watching these corners work out, and we're watching Aaron Colvin. We're like, how the heck is this guy going to make the team?
Right.
I know he makes a lot of money, but this guy is really bad. He should not be on your team. And I'll be damned if week one doesn't come around, and people can try to say that one player doesn't cost you a game, so on and so forth. Aaron Colvin cost you the game against the Saints.
100%. Yeah.
If you had just a competent corner out there, I think he had 8 of 9 passes completed on him. He had the brain fart at the end. He had 1 or 2 touchdowns on him. He cost you that game, and you released him the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen that coming, but it cost you a game. You're saying right now that as Bill O'Brien, the shot caller, the head coach, the general manager, as he sits there and he has to make decisions like this, you're saying, just like it was with Aaron Colvin, where it bit you in the butt in week one, that the writing is on the wall right now that Kyahmi Fairbairn, despite everything he did good last year, Kyahmi Fairbairn can cost you a game, and the writing is right there on the wall.
100%. I just don't. I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt earlier. You know, kickers are a different breed, and it's kind of hard to expect perfection. But the other part of it right now is not only is he struggling, not only is he coming off another game where he had a missed kick. There's an option out there. There's a better option out there right now. That guy is a better kicker statistically. No missed extra points, and at least you'll be lining up for a key kick, whether it's, like I said, to get into the postseason or in the postseason, where you're not going to say, well, this is going to be a miss, you know, where you're nervous about it. I mean, I guess you'll always be nervous. I mean,
you're not going to be nervous about this kid.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make well with Coug fans right now with this kid? Is that the suggestion?
No.
Where this kid went to U of H, you said?
Yeah, he's from Houston. I don't know if he went to U of H.
Oh, okay.
But I know he's from Houston.
I thought you were saying he was from U of H.
No.
By the way, shout out to all the loopholes, 713-572-4610. We're going to pass it off to Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, I believe Jeremy Brando. I'm not sure if there's a Coug game, but we're going to pass it off to them after this. It's been a good show. Tomorrow we're going to have Stanford Route on a Well-Spoken Wednesday. Probably get our guy Kevin Bowen on at some time to talk about the Colts leading up to the game. Of course, James Ihedebo is going to join us on a game day. But I hung up on Pavetech's Rob 2 times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
2 times in
one
segment.
Are you going to make well?
Well, some people are saying, you know, that might have been a little bit harsh. And they're saying because Pavetech's is such a loyal loophole. By the way, go join the Facebook group, the Loophole Facebook group. Pavetech is in charge of that. He does a great job with it. He puts a lot of posts. Ignore half of them because they're his. But he does a good job holding it down. Probably one of my favorite listeners. I consider him a friend. I think he's got an interesting story. But was I too harsh in hanging up on him twice yesterday?
Yes, but it was funny. Like, we were getting texts, people just dying laughing the second time you did it. It was funny the first time a little bit, but then when... You made well with him, you know, you made up with him, and you're like, all right, Pavetech, and then you did it again. I thought that was a nice touch.
So you think I should make up? He's on the line right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, get him on there.
All right, I'll make up for it. Pavetech, what's up?
Hey,
see you later, buddy.
Come
have a
on,
good day.
Don't do that.
See we you later, buddy. Have
Figgy,
a good day.
We got to let Pavtex have his say.
Like, yeah, yesterday was understandable because it was a bad loss, and Pavtex, we didn't want to hear that trolling. But
yeah, Pavtex, call back. I will make sure that Landry doesn't reach over to the phones, tie his hands up, and we'll get you on to have your piece. So call right back.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Dang, you did it again.
Yeah, I did.
It's
do
funny
it again.
The first two times, not
did,
so much the third.
I did do it again.
The third one felt a little bad. I felt a little bad for Pavtex.
Bad for him. I don't know, man. Pavtex got a heart of gold.
Call back, Pavtex.
Sometimes it just happens. You know he will. You know Pavtex will. By the way, congrats to Pavtex's kid. They had a ROTC thing this weekend.
Competition, yeah.
Yeah, ROTC competition. What goes into that? Is that like scouts?
I'm sure it's marching.
I mean, that sounds stupid.
Formations.
I sound like a total meathead.
I'm sure it's marching and formations and stuff like
that. That's impressive stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Weren't you in that at A&M?
No.
So funny. What's so funny?
No, I was not in. I was not in the core at A&M.
Dude, I hope Pavtex doesn't get mad at me.
See, the third time hurt his feelings.
Call back Pavtex.
That's a bad look on you.
For
see,
real,
everybody
man.
Was on your side, now everybody's against you.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. How the hell? Do you get to the point where people are signed with Pavtex every
you
year?
Hang up on him three times. Two is funny. Three was too much.
Okay. Sometimes. You know? Is that like when your mom tells you when you're a
Somebody
kid?
Somebody just texted, you're an a-hole.
is that like when your mom tells you, that's Pavtex texting. The 2-4 is Pavtex.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's laughing. See?
Well, he's not calling back. And I'm giving him the forum.
But did your mom ever tell you that too much of a good thing is a bad thing?
Yes.
Yours mom did?
Mm-hmm.
My mom never told me that, but I heard mom say that. Is that true?
That's because she spoiled you.
No. I mean, is that true, though?
Yeah. Too much of a good thing. People are still...
Too much of a good thing is
Do it
bad
again.
Thing.
It's still funny.
What's the... what was your role on sleepovers with your sons? Don't ask in front of the kid?
Nah. See, we were fine with them through middle school, and we knew that they did their deal, but, you know, middle schoolers are idiots.
What do you mean did their deal?
Like, snuck out of houses and all that.
In middle school?
Of course they did.
What?
Of course they did. Don't act like you didn't.
Snuck out of the house in middle school?
Oh, don't you get all pious on me. Like you didn't?
I mean, not really.
Not really? What does that mean? Is that a yes?
I mean, no, I didn't sneak out of the house and no.
In middle school, you never snuck out of the house?
No.
You're lying through your teeth.
I didn't.
Really?
And did what?
Whatever. Go to a girl's house or something and just do stupid middle school stuff.
And what? Like, what
you
do
know
I
my
do?
Theory
Walk
on
there?
Middle schoolers, right?
Walk there?
Sometimes. Big brothers, big sisters.
I mean, no, I can't say I did that.
Every middle schooler in America is an idiot. That's my theory. And I'm going to stick with it for the rest of my life because every middle school in America is an idiot. Once you get to high school, you get smarter. And once you get to college, you realize your parents were right. But in middle school, every middle schooler in America is a big, fat dummy.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, they are.
There are some smart middle schoolers out there.
Oh, I'm not saying intelligence. I'm saying they're just dumb.
Pavtex is back.
All right. Hold Landry's hands down. Figgy, you call his phone up, and I will handle this. All right. Are we up? Are you? All right, Pavtex.
Landry, you forgot I know where you live, punk.
What were you going to say? I'm going to give you 15 more seconds before Landry I'm trying
I
to
I was going
to
say them Colts are going to destroy them Texans and the season's going to be over. Yeah, baby.
Peace. All right, well. Peace. Can only hold me down for so long.
And I was on his side.
Can only hold me down for so long. Man, it is going to be weird though because you got the Patriots in less than 2 weeks, man.
Yeah, you do.
Less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The evil Patriots. Will they even really have that much to play? I mean, I guess it'll be week 13, but if the Patriots beat the Cowboys this week, they're pretty much in the driver's seat.
Well, the Ravens are going to be right on their tail, though. Because right now the Patriots are thinking this. We know Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, but he's not quite the player that he was.
He's not Tom Brady.
No. I'm saying he's got it between the ears.
You know he's the worst in the league against pressure this year?
Right. No. But
Can
he's
the Texans
still
pressure him?
Come clutch time. He finds a way. He's smart. We know what he is, right? So what they're thinking is this. We know he's still Tom Brady, but maybe not physically the guy that we need or want. So we cannot play on the road. I mean, the Patriots are thinking we're going to do everything we can to get that home field advantage. So, yes, they're going to bring it against the Texans, especially with the Ravens right on their heels, you know?
Did you see Bill Belichick take that drive-by this week on the Eagles? Because you remember after the Eagles won that Super Bowl against the Patriots, they basically acted like they invented football.
Right.
And they said, we do things the right way. We actually have fun. It's actually fun to be here. Mm-hmm. We're not like the Patriots. We're not dry. And they acted like they invented football. Right. They haven't done a damn thing since. Fell flat on their face last year. I know they won one playoff game, but it's been a disappointment this year for the most part. Since they won that Super Bowl, it wasn't like the start of some dynasty. It's something you look at and say, damn, how did they win a Super Bowl? Well, they kept talking about fun. You see Belichick at the podium after they beat the Eagles this weekend?
What do you say?
Listen to this little drive-by on the notion that the Eagles just have more fun.
They just did a good job. Looked like they're having a lot of fun out there today. And got to play with a lot of good energy.
We just had a lot of fun out there. Looked like they were having some fun out there.
He never says that.
Dude, he's a little. He's probably a little bit more calculated than you think. Just a little bit more calculated.
Oh, a little? A lot? Absolutely. Texter says, are you happy with yourself now, John? We let Faith Tex on. He starts torching the Texans on the Colts.
Yeah, like good job, dude. Like I'm glad we got that in there.
Should have hung up on him again.
Thanks very much for the listeners for that, John Lopez. Thanks a lot, man. I'm just happy to be back, man. Like I said, been a rough few days for me, man.
And Vicks Vapor Rub did the trick.
Vicks Vapor Rub, lots of cough syrup, lots of cough drops, lots of pills, lots of gargled salt water. Yeah, like allergy pills.
No, I'm just kidding.
What do you mean? I mean,
you're taking over there.
Yesterday, I could barely walk. I could barely walk when I woke up. And it lasted for 3 hours, fourth hour, pretty rough, but it's a miracle, man. It's great. This is a big week, John. And I didn't want to leave you on an island. Who would fill in for me if I left, by the way?
Captain Scott, we just do a Bite Me podcast for the last hour.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
If you told me that Scott Knoll could just fill in for me, that'd be awesome.
We'd just be talking about Corkies and hard water baits.
Are y'all recording that today?
Yeah, we're recording.
Are you taking my suggestion for a topic?
Yes, we're using that as part of it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
absolutely. When you fell in love with fishing, your first fishing memory, the fondest memory, because I'm actually curious about this. I might actually ask you what that is tomorrow. We can direct people towards that, because I wonder. I know how much you love fishing, and I just know it usually starts at a young age, and I just want to know what that is. By the way, speaking of this fishing thing, before we get out of here, you don't still hate Captain Mickey, do you?
I've never hated Captain Mickey. I love Captain.
Y'all don't still have beef?
We've never had a beef.
Because I love. I mean, like, because I love Captain Mickey.
I love Captain Mickey.
And I just don't like.
I've fished with him multiple times.
I just hate seeing you two clash.
We've never clashed. See what I mean? He's done that three times today. Just makes crap up. Trying to stir the pot. He's a pot stirrer, Figgy.
You're just a bad radio person, Landon. That's all there is to it.
That was Stu, right?
Stu thinks I'm right.
I couldn't believe what a whiner Stu was after the Astros lost, man. Like, to say that I was hard on the Astros, I was their biggest fan for the whole thing.
You were.
When they were down 0-2 and people were counting them out, I was still with them. And Stu just turns on me like that.
He did.
Damn, dude. Shout out to Stu, man. Still kind of hurt my feelings when you play that back.
We like Stu, even though he thinks you're just a bad radio person.
I love Stu.
Yeah.
Just can't believe he did that. He was just in a bad mood, man. He's just in a bad mood. I feel like Elvis is talking to me right now.
Shout out to Elvis.
This is my feelings towards Stu.
R.I.P.
For Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, for the OG John Lopez, thank you very much to John McClain. This has been another edition of In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Tomorrow, it's going to be the day before the Texans versus the Colts. Stanford Rout's going to join us on a well-spoken Wednesday. For the OG and Figgy Fig, I'm Landry Locker. Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham are next.
You're just a bad radio person, Landry. That's all there is to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.